14 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's Thursday morning. My co-host for today's program is Maulana Ibrahim Daya. And our guest this morning is Brother Idris Khamisa. Maulana Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Maulana. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, beautiful rains that we've been having. Since yesterday, I know since last night, it rained the whole night in Ermelo, and then this morning as well, right up until now, it's just raining.
Yes, Samara, we've been experiencing the same weather here in Indonesia. The morning it has been, Allah has blessed us with beautiful rain, and last night as well.
Yes, Alhamdulillah, Shukr, you know, we are eternally grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful rain. And in the starting of the season, we were worried that there's no rain at all. But now we are getting so much of rain, we are surely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, we know that there was worry and concern throughout the last few months with regards to the rain. So show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, it shouldn't be that now with the rains we go back to our old habits, but we all, throughout these last few months and in the December period when there was no rain, we all were saving water. But to continue and also follow up on that, not that now when we have access of water so that we go back to our old ways, but rather keep on building on that moment, on that teachings that we practice upon.
Yes, inshallah, Aziz. Maulana, I think we have our guest, Brother Idris Khamisa, on the line as well. Let's try and speak to Idris. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, it seems that Idris is not connected as yet. Maulana, perhaps you can just get an indication from Tufail. When Idris is connected, we can speak to him, inshallah. What we are looking at in our program today is keeping the theme of racism and racialism. Interracial marriages is one of the topics that we will be speaking about, and also hospitalization. You know, it's not an easy time for a person to be hospitalized, and there are great challenges that you face, and there are many factors that affect that as well. We've spoken about that, Alhamdulillah, Maulana, a few weeks back, and perhaps Idris Bhai can provide his insight on that as well. But the interesting topic that we're going to be looking at is interracial marriages. Now, because of our apartheid legacy in South Africa, is not very common. But you look at countries where they had not experienced apartheid and where apartheid didn't even play a role. Interracial marriages happen quite often. It's quite a norm. You look at countries like Botswana, you look at countries like Mozambique, that interracial marriages are quite the norm.
Yes, Mara, we find that in South Africa in the apartheid days, it wasn't even legal to have such marriages. And also, interesting enough, in America as well, up until the 1960s, 1970s, these marriages were not allowed. So we look at that perspective also and how it has affected society, and do we still live in that same mentality. And also looking from an Islamic perspective, what does Islam say with regards to this as well? And I think we still, Tufail is still trying to get hold of Idris, but inshallah when he is on, we will inform Maulana.
Okay, now since we have been speaking about racism and racialism on Radio Islam since this morning, I don't know if a distinction has been made or a definition drawn out of the difference between racism and racialism. There's two different things, and if you just go into the definition of each of them, racism is a belief or doctrine that inherent hierarchical differences among the various human races determine cultural or individual achievement, usually involving the idea that one's own race is superior. So what this means is that because we are different in color, that determines our cultural or individual achievement, and it involves the idea that one's own race, one's own color is superior. Now, racialism, on the other hand, is a belief in the existence and significance of racial differences, but not necessarily that any hierarchy between the races exists. Racialists typically reject claims of racial superiority. So, another way of putting it is to say that the racist believes that interracial relationships are fundamentally wrong. A racialist, however, may simply prefer to date people within his or her own race because they believe other races will be incompatible. Now, this is the reason for making this distinction is that racism is currently on the fringes of social thought. Racialism seems to be prevalent in the mainstream, and what we call institutionalized racism would more accurately be described as institutionalized racialism. Both are dangerous to varying degrees, and both have to be combated, and we have to understand what both actually mean. So racism versus racialism. One is to believe that your color is better than somebody else's color. One is to believe that colors cannot mix and people cannot mix and it's more institutional. That is what the difference is between racism and racialism. Maulana, do we have Idrisbhai on the line?
Yes, we do.
Okay, Idrisbhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to the program this morning, Idrisbhai. How are you keeping?
I'm, what can I say? I'm here in the cardiac unit ICU at the moment. Alhamdulillah, I just had some stents inserted yesterday. There's no need for bypass, so alhamdulillah, I'm very, very well. So I said I would not miss the opportunity of interacting with you and the listeners.
Alhamdulillah, that's, it was a concern. It was definitely a worry that we had, and since you told us last week, or you told me in the week that you're going to be going for an angiogram, and we were concerned about it, making dua for you, and alhamdulillah, this is good news that you just have to have, you had to have some stents inserted, and how are you feeling at the moment?
Alhamdulillah, I cannot thank Allah enough. You know, Allah is merciful. It's sickness is a blessing. It's a reminder about your mortality, reminder that you cannot turn to anyone except your Creator. You know, alhamdulillah. So it's been very, very, I must say I was anxious like all human beings.
Mm.
But alhamdulillah, I am so relaxed now. I'm going to make a comeback and participate in the Olympics, you know.
Oh, mashallah. Yeah, that's what they say, how you feel after a stint. And you know, we as Radio Islam, I think this is a milestone for us because we've had broadcasts from all over the globe. From Mecca, from Arafat, we've had broadcasts from Malaysia, from America, and we've had guests from all over the world. But the first time, we can actually say that our guest spoke to us from inside an ICU unit.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. It's alhamdulillah. Anyway, make dua for us. We ask the listeners to make dua for us. Make dua for all people unwell. But I can just say a few things, you know. Alhamdulillah, that we got to really, really look after ourselves, eat the right foods, and really, I intend to do that, inshallah, make a comeback, inshallah, and we only have one life, and let us make sure that we lead is a full life, a pleasant life, a healthy life, inshallah.
Inshallah, yes, that is how we need to live our lives, and you know, they say when you come back from a stint, you feel like you can really go for it and you feel much more energetic and much more capable than what you were before it. And it definitely slows you down, all the cholesterol in the arteries and the blocking of the arteries. Definitely so slows a person down.
Yes, too much of cooking oil, bye. Too much of biryani. But anyway, alhamdulillah, it's... I've got a new lease of life, and I pray that these years are better than the years behind, inshallah.
I hope you're not speaking to us under the influence of anesthetic at the moment, is it? Right?
No. I'm trying to subdue myself here. Yeah, because but it's a very pleasant place, this hospital. Alhamdulillah. It's not a place you want to be, but... Really, we must look after ourselves, inshallah. Inshallah.
Inshallah, Aziz. And it is by hospitalization, that's what we said we're going to be speaking about. Since you are in the hospital at the moment, you can give us a better idea of what it is, what it feels like to be hospitalized, and we wouldn't see the positives of it, but the challenges and how family members can make the hospital stay more comfortable for their loved ones.
You know, one of the biggest challenges is when you're admitted to the hospital, and especially when they're going to make a diagnosis, you know. I mean, we make so much of dua, we all turn to Allah. And really, I find that nothing is more beautiful than the support you get from your family members, you know. I mean, this, you know, the sight of your wife reading Yasin outside the angiogram, and all of that is so, so emotional. And this is the whole point. Sometimes what happens in our exuberance, in our youthfulness, we walk with a quick step and we forget that someday we're going to die, someday we might get sick. So it is so important for us to go to the hospital and to really applaud the sterling work done by the doctors and the nurses, and to look around and you see people that are suffering, young people, old people, the challenges that people go through. And, you know, alhamdulillah. And I, in fact, I had no real signs about anything, you know. On a personal note, I was in Dubai and Turkey. I just felt some discomfort. So I went to see my cardiologist. And he said to me, nothing seems to be wrong, but we should at least do an angiogram. And there were a few blockages there. Alhamdulillah, and he managed to open those blockages and whatnot, you know. So it's something that really humbles you and reminds you all the time that nothing happens except for the will of Allah. And for those that are unwell, may Allah give you shifa, Amen. And your du'as are accepted, inshallah.
Yes, you can interact with us on the program. The number to dial is 011-854-1548, or you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. It is by, you mentioned the point there that, you know, the support that the family gives plays a big part when a person is in hospital or when a person is sick. You know, just to take out a few minutes to visit that person, give him words of encouragement, it really lifts the spirits of a person.
Yes, it does that. You see, nowadays, you know, many people are so busy in their own worlds. I mean, you know, that they feel that if they were to visit someone in hospital, it'd be such an interruption. I mean, I was surprised how so many people got to know. I didn't really publicize I'm going to be here. The number of people sending messages, people came to see me yesterday. And it's humbling, and I was also touched that in Orient Islamic School, I heard that they made a special dua for me, you know. So these are very humbling things because, you know, one never knows whether one is impacting on people and all that. So the issue about, you know, that's why the Allah is with the sick. I mean, it reminds me of a story when one of my friends, Sheikh Babakar, was asked to make dua for a lady from Makkah who was in hospital in the UK. He said, of course I'll go, I want to meet Allah, because he knew Allah is with the sick. So I think it's a reminder, inshallah, I pray that through our own illnesses that we are able to help other people to have a much more balanced perspective in life, to have a better understanding about who they are. In the end, you know, whether we like it or not, we are going to die, we are mortal beings, but it's not so much how long you live, but how well you live, and to what extent Allah was pleased with your life and living, you know.
Yes, this is the whole idea. And you know, when you are in hospital, when you are in a situation, any trying situation, then you start reflecting on your life, and it gives you a chance to sit back and think about what you stand for, what you've done so far, what your achievements are, what you hope to do, what type of a person you actually wanted to be and what you ended up being. And so it gives you a chance to now make changes and, like you said, a new lease on life, and maybe we'll find a new and improved Idris Khamisa coming up, inshallah.
Inshallah. Inshallah, inshallah. That's our prayer, our desire. And may Allah keep the intensity of the lesson all the time, every time, inshallah. And, you know, we cannot thank Allah for His mercy. And I'm really looking forward to my life, you know. And inshallah, I'm going to start next week. I'm going to go start jogging again and, you know, do things actively. And inshallah, I'll continue to help wherever I can, inshallah.
Inshallah. This time we do have a caller on the line. We'll take that call. Someone that wants to share their thoughts and opinions with us on the program.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, Mulana, and the panel. Salam to you all. And I want to really wish this Hamisa a speedy and a full recovery. This message is from Ismail Kaka and family from Luxembourg.
Oh, man. Jazakumullah. Oh, Allah bless you.
Inshallah, Allah gives you the strength and you'll be, inshallah, you'll be as fit as anything and you recover completely.
And you give my salams to Smile and the family. Allah look after you and protect you. And this call means a lot to me. You know, I regard you all as my own family and Allah bless you, really.
Ameen. Allah keeps you, inshallah, and remember us in your du'as as well. And remember, the sister is a gift from Allah. Allah loves you. Allah brings you closer to Allah. So all your trust, put it only into Allah and ask Allah for help. And my salam to Rukshana as well.
Oh, wa alaikum salam. Allah bless you. We pray that we see each other soon, inshallah.
Inshallah. Ameen. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, it is very, you know, whoever you go to visit in whichever town you've been to, whoever you've interacted with, everybody feels so close to you and so welcomed in your life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the muhabbah that people have with you.
You know, Malana, it's a very emotional, this is for me, because I genuinely care for everyone. I care for everyone. Everyone that I meet, and it affects me when people are unhappy. And my dua is inshallah, and I continue to make dua for people that Allah keeps the marriages intact, Allah keeps harmony between the father and the son, the daughter, and may Allah keep our homes happy places, inshallah, and may our youth be better understood, inshallah. And this is a very, very emotional for me. In fact, I wasn't going to spend time talking about this, but alhamdulillah, this is how Allah wanted it to be.
Yes, alhamdulillah, shukar. Idris bhai, we need to give you a bit of a rest for a minute or two. We'll take a bit of a break as well. Inshallah, we'll be back after this. It's 28 minutes to 12. You're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and welcome back to my guest, spiritual guest speaker this morning, Brother Idris Khamisa, speaking to us, in fact, out of an ICU unit after having undergone an angiogram and had a few stents inserted, and Idris by speaking to us out of the ICU, and we have a caller who's waiting to speak to Idris by Idris. Let's speak to the caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, hello. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, it doesn't seem like we can get through. Mawlana Ibrahim, can you hear anything on that side?
Assalamu alaikum, caller.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, nobody's speaking on that side. Whoever wants to speak to Idris, I'd like to wish him any messages of good health or dua, you are welcome to call in as well. And Idris, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here, alhamdulillah.
Okay. Idris, alhamdulillah, a number of people wanting to call in and make dua for you, and this is the best opportunity of speaking to you in the ICU, mashallah. We'll continue with the next topic that we said we're going to be speaking about, and that is interracial marriages. However, if anybody feels like calling and speaking to Idris, you're most welcome to do so as well in between our discussion. Idris, interracial marriages, keeping with our theme of racism on Radio Islam today, there's in South Africa, it's not a common occurrence because of our apartheid legacy. However, in countries, even in neighboring countries like Mozambique, Botswana, etc., interracial marriages started taking place many years ago already.
It took place years ago. And what you got to understand, we need, many of us, although we are also victims of apartheid, I think many of us still have a chip on our shoulder, you know. And we need to understand that racism of any kind is unacceptable. We need to understand that. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you, there are more and more young people in this country that are marrying people of other races, but within the fold of Islam. The critical thing is a person is a Muslim. But a very important thing is this, that we must make sure that we know how to deal with this. We must, in a sense, do not adopt a cultural attitude, because, you know, there are many people nowadays who interact with each other and they find each other. And inshallah, we don't want them to break the laws of the Sharia. But
before we go ahead, can we take a caller who's waiting on the line to speak to you?
Okay.
Let's speak to the caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Are you there, sister?
The sister could just turn the receiver off. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, Uncle Idris?
Alhamdulillah.
Uncle Idris, this is somebody that listens to your program every week, and I've learned so much from you, and I know what's my right and what's my wrong now, and where I stand in a married life at the age of 64. And I make dua for you that Allah Ta'ala gives you full shifa and you'll be here to teach us for a long, long time, because I had a very, very rough married life. But today I can stand up proudly on my two feet and say what is right and what is wrong for what you have taught all of us on air. And Jazakallah so much to you, and I wish you well and speedy recovery.
Jazakallah. Allah bless you for your kind sentiments. Assalamu alaikum.
Salam. Mashallah. Jazakumullah khairan for that call. And alhamdulillah, Idris, you know, there's so many people who care so much about you. Perhaps we can just continue with what you were saying.
Yeah. So I think, you know what, firstly, as parents, we need to be very, very vigilant. We need to look around us and whatnot. You've got to make sure that, you know, when people choose their life partner, they're going to choose someone, inshallah, they could live with and spend the rest of their life. But race should not be one of the criteria, sadly. I mean, you know, also, there are many instances when, you know, cousins, first cousins marry each other, and often the marriages do not work out. So what I'm saying is that we must shed this condescension. We must not adopt a condescending attitude, and we must make sure, inshallah, that we deal with situations in the best way possible. And if it's something, it's a reality, it's going to take place, and I've been getting a number of inquiries regarding this issue, and so I'll say to parents that you must never ever get upset, and alhamdulillah, Allah judges us by a taqwa. If the individual, him or her, are the right person, alhamdulillah, we should accept.
Idris, we received a WhatsApp message. Assalamu alaikum. May Almighty Allah grant Brother Idris and the many, many out there with major and minor illnesses ease, comfort, and shifa. Ameen. So, Jazakumullahu khairan.
Ameen.
Idris, when it comes to marriage in itself, If you just look at marriage, whenever we have a discussion on marriage, whatever ahadith have been mentioned of marriage, whatever ayats of the Quran have been mentioned of marriage, we look at a few basic principles when choosing a marriage partner. It is deen that is the most important. Then we look at a person's lineage, we look at a person's wealth status, we look at a person's beauty and looks. But in none of these has anything ever been mentioned of race as a deciding factor upon getting married. That is, race has been introduced as a social factor when it comes to choosing marriage partner, and we are more concerned about what our society is going to tell us without in actual fact looking at looking at the piety of the person, looking at how much we care for the person or how suitable that person is for us. And we should understand that our criteria should be more based on deen, more based on piety than based on society.
Absolutely, Maulana. I mean, you said it so nicely. But that's the reality. If you look around, people are marrying, many of them, because of looks, you know. However they perceive the looks to be. And that can never sustain a marriage. But when a person has taqwa, inshallah, that can sustain a marriage. Of course, there has to be some kind of chemistry also. So I think, you know, I thought I'll just, you know, today open the discussion. It's a very important discussion, and especially the racism, especially in the context of this country, has become a hot potato. It's dividing the community, it's destroying people, and people are making statements impulsively and realizing, you know, the gravitas and importance of it, and people are losing jobs because of the insensitivity. So I think it's important that when you bring our children up, we've got to make sure that the issue of race is, you know, not a part of our discussion in that sense. I mean, you and I know the love our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Hazrat Bilal, how protective he was of him. And you know the last sermon, what did he indicate, you know, what did he say? So I think it's a very important thing that, because also in this country we must not be perceived to be insular and isolationist. And you find that, if my understanding is right, in the early days when the Sahaba went to any part of the world, they integrated the community and they married in that community. And, you know, not for like narrow economic expediency, but they did it as part of what, you know, the aim was, you know, to spread the deen of Islam, and to engage them, and they treated them with kindness, love and respect, and they were drawn towards them. And I think this is a point we are missing. Sometimes we forget that we are ambassadors for Islam, the deen. We forget that each one of us, you know, people watch us and they make their own conclusions about Islam purely because of our conduct, you know.
Yes, you can interact with us on the program. The number to dial is 011-854-1548, or you could WhatsApp us 072-786-1548. You can send your messages through to 835 and get into the conversation. We are talking about interracial marriages to do with our racism day or anti-racism day on Radio Islam International. At least by, we find that you bring up this point, and it's a very important point, that sometimes we have that sort of chip on our shoulder where we forget being racist to other people with regards to their skin color, but where we have racism within our own communities towards different people of our own race.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that is shocking, you know, shocking. When people adopt those attitudes, it goes completely antithetical to Islam, you know. And I don't understand how people can embrace those attitudes, you know. Yeah, none of us are going to be judged by the color of the skin, by our linguistic persuasion of which continent we come from. None of us. We all be judged by our taqwa. And I think when parents perpetuate this notion, it is unacceptable. It is really, really unacceptable. So I think, you know, it really means a re-education It means our schooling system, our madaris, and all our schools. We need to celebrate the otherness, and we need to help our children, inshallah, cope with the changing face of our society.
Rizbai, if a person comes to a parent with an idea that I want to get married to a certain person, and when we find out that that person is not of the same race as us, how should the parent approach it, and what steps should they take?
I think, you know, firstly, even before that happens, there must be a thorough discussion, consultation with your children, that whenever they feel inclined towards someone, someone is inclined towards them, long before they become emotionally entangled, they need to raise the issue with their parents. And this discussion about race and all of that ought to have taken place a long, long time ago. And in Islam, there is no place at all for racism. Now, it's important that that discussion does take place, and thereafter you could have reasonable discussions with your son or your daughter, and then get to know the other party, as you ought to do even in marriages within the same particular race, you know.
WhatsApp message states, Salam said to see we as Indians call people from India different names, whereas our forefathers came from India.
That's true. We tend to be very, very condescending. It's not uncommon for us to mock our forefathers, mock them in the way they speak, and something that is also unacceptable. And I know this topic is a very sensitive topic, is a very touchy topic, but I felt I needed to bring it out into the open, because I deal with these situations, and I felt fair we need to speak about it. We cannot pretend it doesn't exist, you know, because South Africa is an open country, is a democratic country, is a free country, freedom of association, and you could move here, there, and everywhere. Our children do not only work with the people of their own cultural background. It's a broad spectrum. So I think we need to understand this, and we need to accept it, and we need to come out of our narrow parochial attitudes, you know.
But this time we speak about these interracial marriages, and no doubt every marriage has challenges, or it has some, when they go through some difficulties, but a marriage like this would have added challenges, no doubt. And how to go about dealing with those challenges where two people coming from different cultural backgrounds, different sort of families, and how they live up, and then to bring them up and to live with that, with the challenge?
No matter what racial background, therefore I recommend that you ask each other 100 questions. There's commonality about upbringing, commonality about values, commonality about attitudes, aspirations, and ambitions. And we need to do all of that, you know. And you'll be surprised how much of it is common. There may be a cultural element with each one of us, you know, but the core things remain the same. And for me, I never ever look down upon any marriage. I never look down upon any individual, because I know myself, who am I. And I think we need to really come out of this, because our attitudes really goes completely against the grain of Islam.
Rizba, it's just gone 10 to 12. I think perhaps we can allow you to take a rest now, and we don't want to strain your heart too much, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, I think my heart is strong, and Allah bless you for your kind sentiments, and Allah bless the listeners of Radio Islam. Jazakumullah, and remember, Maulana, you must look after your
Shushu Babalina.
That's it, yes, mashallah. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran to Idris Khamisa for coming on and taking the courage to speak to us from the ICU. And we've received a WhatsApp message, Malana Daya. Malana, we as Indians are the product of the dua of our Nabi when he made dua for the people of Taif, because Muhammad bin Qasim was from Taif, he conquered India. Okay, so that was listener, and alhamdulillah, there's much history in India, but no matter who we are or what our background is, our reality depends on what our personal ta'alluq, what our personal relationship is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum, the person greatest in honor in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the greatest recognition and awareness and consciousness, the greatest taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reality. Allah ta'ala has created us in different tribes, in different colors, in different places in the world Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us. But the person closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the greatest taqwa. And this is what we need to realize and what we need to learn and understand, that racism is a reality. It is a reality because we are all of different races, we are all of different colors, we are all of different backgrounds. So there is a difference between people in their physical physical reality. But that racism or that difference in race, a difference in color, should not be used as a yardstick of superiority. That is where the problem comes in. Being of a different race, that is a reality we have to live with. But using the difference in race as a yardstick of superiority, that is where the problem comes in. And that can only be eradicated when that superiority is removed from our hearts. Superiority will only be removed from our hearts when we have understood that we are all creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala is our creator, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created us differently. And when we recognize that Allah ta'ala is the one who has created us differently, then no matter what color we are, no matter who we are, no matter what our wealth status may be, no matter what our status in family lineage may be, we will recognize that we are all equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are all creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there won't be any difference in a person who is Indian, or a person who is European, or a person who is African, or a person who is Chinese, or a person who is from Latin origin, from whatever origin a person may be. There won't be any difference, because we recognize that we are all creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only thing that matters in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our taqwa, is our hearts and our closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we have to develop, this is what we have to strengthen, and this is what we have to embed in the hearts of our children as well. This, that we recognize, also has to be, while recognizing this and while developing our taqwa, we also have to warning ourselves and warning our children and stopping ourselves and our children from condescending, from a condescending attitude, from a condescending speech, from looking down on others as well. The listener sends a message now. Unfortunately, this is too ingrained in the Muslim community, superiority complex mostly. Yes, and that superiority complex will be broken down when we recognize that we are all creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only superiority is based on taqwa. Maulana Ibrahim, Jazakallah khairan for your time this morning. Alhamdulillah, and shukran to Brother Tufail, our studio operator. Shukran to Idris Khamisa, our guest for today, and especially to our listeners for making this an interesting program. From Maulana Ibrahim Daya and myself, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.